Our first reading this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, page 1304 in our red pew Bibles. Just to preface these readings, we are living in fearful times. And so what is the biblical response to fear? And the message today is love is the response to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So that is our message today. And so we look at what John has to say in his first letter about love. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation simply means that Jesus paid the price for our sins. He covered our sins. He atoned for our sins. All of that in that big word. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. For so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 34 in our Red Pew Bible, page 588. Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1. Let us pray this together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory to the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Page 1040 in our Pew Bibles. Just to set the context a little bit, Jesus is giving a series of parables in Matthew chapter 13. These are parables about the kingdom of God. So we begin at Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. He, Jesus, put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now we skip over to verse 36. When he, Jesus, left the crowds and went into the house, his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." That's Jesus. "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are living in fearful times. People are afraid to get this coronavirus. People are afraid to get sick. People are afraid to suffer. People are afraid to die. People are afraid to lose their financial security, their investment portfolio, their 401ks. So how are we to live in times such as these? Well, one answer is given in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me read that again. Do not be conformed to this world. This world is living in a state of fear and panic, and we as followers of Jesus Christ are not to conform to that mindset of fear and panic. We are to be transformed. How? By the renewal of our minds. The mind is the battleground. And so we seek to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, that by testing, the testing of our faith, we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so instead of being conformed to this world, we are to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That means changing the way that we think. Our mindset, our paradigms, these are also referred to as strongholds. Some of us grew up, maybe ourselves, thinking such a thing, that I am not good at taking tests. This is something that gets set into our mind, and so guess what? We're not good at taking tests. For some of us, we have been fed the lie of the enemy that we're not a good person. We deserve to be punished, and so when things happen to us, we believe that we are just getting what we deserve. These are lies of the enemy. They are strongholds. They are ways of thinking that we need to be transformed from by the renewal of our mind. How is the mind renewed? By the testing of our faith. But as our faith is tested, that is how we discern what God's will is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we seek the renewal of our minds, which happens through testing, changing the way we think about things, changing the way we see the world, changing our expectations. So what things do we need to change about our view of the world? Well, one of those is given in our reading from Matthew 13 this morning. We're also taught the same thing basically in John chapter 8, verses 39 to 47. In this reading, Jesus makes it very clear that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the children of God, represented by the wheat, and there are children of the devil, represented by the weeds. So why doesn't God get rid of the evil people? This is a constant question that many have. Why doesn't God just get rid of evil? Well, we're told, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. So if God were to remove all evil from the world, he would have to remove us as well. And so we live with evil in this world, which means that we will live with suffering until the end of the age, when we will shine like the sun in our Father's kingdom. That is what we long for. But in the meantime, God allows suffering and evil because God uses suffering and evil. God allows suffering and evil because God uses it for his purpose and his plan. So we ask the question, well, how? Well, one way is given to us in the writings of Bernard of Clairvaux. Clairvaux is a place in France. Bernard lived from the year 1090 to 1153 AD. So that's back in the 12th century. It was about 400 years before the Protestant Reformation. And yet it was 400 years later that people such as Martin Luther and John Calvin were profoundly influenced by the writings of Bernard. He was a monk who headed up a monastery there in Clairvaux, and he did a lot of writing. One of his writings was titled On the Love of God. In this piece, Bernard describes 3 degrees of love. The first degree of love is love of self for self's sake. Love of self for self's sake. This is how we come into the world. This is where we begin. Self-centered, self-conscious, selfish, self-absorbing. And lest we have any doubts about that, any of us who know children and grandchildren know that at least one of the first words that any child learns, I think first is probably no, but I think a very close second is the word mine. Mine, the child says. And so we are in this world, and that is the basic state of an ungodly world. Love of self for self's sake. Well, Bernard says, as we mature in our faith, we are transformed into the second degree of love, which is love of God for self's sake. So we go from love of self for self's sake to love of God for self's sake. We become aware of what God has done for us in the act of redemption, Jesus dying on the cross. We become aware of what God does for us now, his blessings. And we become aware of what God will do for us in the future, the gift of eternal life. And so we love God for it, for the things that he does, he has done, and will do. I suspect that this is where most Christians live, to love God because of what he does for us. But Bernard goes on to describe a 3rd degree of love, which is to love God for God's sake. So again, the progression, to love self for self's sake. The second, to love God for self's sake. The 3rd degree, to love God for love's sake. We do not love God for what he does or does not do, but we love him for who he is. If we love God for who he is, we also learn to love one another, not for what they do, but for who they are. To love our spouses, not for what they do, but for who they are. To love our children and our grandchildren, not for what they do, but to love them for who they are. This does not mean, by the way, that we don't set boundaries. In fact, not to set boundaries is perhaps the most unloving thing we can do for children and grandchildren. But to love our wives, to love our husbands, to love our children and grandchildren, to love them for who they are, not for what they do. This is the love of God. And so we are called to love God the same way, to love him for who he is, not for what he does or for what he does not do. Now, is this supported in Scripture? Well, we know in Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job, who is dwelling in the place of extreme suffering, makes the statement, yet though he slay me, I will trust in him. Another verse from Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Daniel chapter 3, we see the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are being thrown into the fiery furnace because of their refusal to bow down and worship the image set up by the king. And the 3 men of God make the statement, about being thrown in the furnace. We know that God has the power to save us. We believe he will save us. But even if he does not, we will praise him, and we will not worship or bow down to the image. We also see powerful examples of the application in our reading today from 1 John chapter 4. This is quoting from John. "We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." We have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. I shared last week a quote from Tim Keller, who stated that if we are not firmly fixed in the belief that God loves us, we're going to be in trouble. Do those doubts come into our mind? Of course they do. But if we dwell on it and allow it to perpetuate in our minds, it can cause tremendous trouble. So we have come to know and we believe the love that God has for us. We must be firm in that conviction. John goes on, "God is love." That's who God is. "And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world." What an amazing statement that is. By this, loving God for who he is, love is perfected within us, so that we have the confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, as God is, so also are we in this world. Amazing. Well, what about our fears? We also heard this from 1 John chapter 4. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What is that perfect love? It's to love God for who he is, not for what he does or does not do. So here's today's message. Conditional love, love of self for self's sake, and even love of God for self's sake, conditional love brings conditional joy. Our joy depends on what God does or does not do for us. But unconditional love, love of God for God's sake, brings unconditional joy. Unconditional love brings unconditional joy. Our joy does not depend on our circumstances. Our joy rests in the love of God, which is unconditional. This is how we live in these times of fear. We love God for God's sake, for who he is, and we will then have unconditional joy forever. So, what is the response to these fearful times? To not be conformed to the ways of the world, but do not love God for the sake of God, who he is. But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by changing the way we think, particularly about God. And it is then through testing that we would discern what is God's will, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, our message today, unconditional love brings unconditional joy. And that is the desire of all of us. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we trust in God's love for us. We love God for who he is, for God is love. And he loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. O gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you put your love into our hearts. You abide in us, that we also may abide in you. In this, love is perfected, for you are love. And in this, we become as you are in this world. So, Lord God, we thank you for your unconditional love. And as we put our faith in that love, We thank you for the unconditional joy that fills our hearts. And in this we give thanks in He who made it all possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.